Hallelujah. Let's continue. So are we? Let somebody talk to me. Okay. So Peter makes us clear that the words of the prophet have their fulfillment and explanation in the incarnation. Just like John did. Hallelujah. What did John do? John 1 verses 1 to 18. John 1. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the God was the Word. Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
So, it was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him is nothing made that was made. Now, when it says in the beginning, that word beginning is the word arche. Arche. It implies in the start. The start. In context here, John says in the beginning, he references Moses, which is Genesis 1:1. I've told us that, right? When you hear the word beginning, afore, it references what? Genesis, right? Right? So Genesis will be the beginning of scriptures. In the beginning. You look at Luke 24, it says beginning at Moses. It will reference Genesis to Deuteronomy. Right? Beginning at Moses. So the beginning of John 1:1 is Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now that word, the beginning was the word logon or logos. We have logos or logon. It implies an intention. An intention. A plan that produces an action. A plan that produces an action. This implies that God's plan has been from the beginning concerning Christ. We'll see this at first. Hallelujah. God's plan has been from the beginning concerning Christ. It's not an afterthought. People think God's plan is when man dies sin. God has another plan. No. Not an afterthought of Adam's sin in the garden, but the very rejection of Adam in the garden. You see that? What did Adam reject in the garden? God's logon. You see that? What did Adam reject in the garden? God's logos. God's plan. God's intention. Are you following that? That was what Adam rejected. So what Adam rejected was the very plan of God. Hallelujah. So when I go back to John 1:1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and God is the Word. It shows you, listen, it makes us see that the plan, the intention in the beginning is God. Do you see that? Eh? So I said the Word was God, it means the plan is God. So the plan, which is God, is now found as the message in the mouth of the prophets. That when you get to verse 4. You see, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not made that is made. In Him is life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shines in the dark places, or shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man whose name is John. There was a man sent from God whose name is John. The same came to bear witness of the light. What is the light? The logon. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Say, in Him is life. And the life is the light of men. So the logon, they bore witness. So the prophet will bear witness of this logon. Are you seeing that? Of God's plan. Hallelujah. So when it says the light shines in darkness, he has in the background Genesis 1, 2 to 3. Are you seeing that? When it says the light shines in darkness, he expects that you've seen Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. Look at Genesis 1. Put your hands in John. Look at Genesis 1. So John is explaining Genesis to us. Light shines in darkness. Look at verse 2. Say the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. So we've seen that. Listen, when you say God said, let there be light, we've seen that the light is who? The light is the Logon itself, and the Logon is God. Hallelujah. So when God said, let there be light, God is calling himself to be in the earth. Are you following that? Are you following that? But we'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. So, in the midst of the darkness, God called for light. Hallelujah. So, the light in Genesis 1, 2 to 3, which we say is the message, right? Will be the message of God in the mouth of the prophet. Hallelujah. That will be God's message. That will be God himself in all the earth, right? God's message in all the earth. Hallelujah. That is how John is explaining it. Similar to how Paul will explain it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Put your hands in John. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. The same way Paul will explain it. 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 4 to 6. You see, if our gospel be veiled. Now when it talks about veil, your heart goes, your mind goes to what? When it talks about veil, your mind goes to darkness. Right? Say, if our gospel be veiled, say it is veiled to those who are perishing, whom the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, least the light of the gospel, did you see? Of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them, or do not preach ourselves. So it goes into the preaching. But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bond servant for Jesus' sake. For it's God who commanded light. Did you see that? For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has who has shone in our hearts. Who has shone in our hearts? God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he Paul makes us see also that the darkness of Genesis 1, 2, which is the same with John 1, 5, will be the heart of man. Who doesn't believe, right? Did you see that? For the God of the world has blinded. And the light will imply the gospel preached. And the gospel preached, without the God in their heart, that will be God in their heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God in their heart. So Genesis 1, 3, when God said light be, it is done in the preaching of the gospel, right? Light be, we said, when you say light be, he says himself to be, right? Right? And how would that happen? In the preaching of the gospel, right? Hallelujah. So that is very important. So let's go back to our John 1, verse 5. When we were in verse 7, there was a man called to be a witness of the light, which is talking about John. And all through him may believe. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So when he's talking about the light shining in darkness, he brings in John the Baptist and puts him in the stead of every other prophet. That he, just like the prophet, all the other prophet before him, will bear witness of the light. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? They will bear witness of the light. Would this be similar to 2 Peter 1:19? When he calls the prophet Luchnus lamps, right? That bears witness, right? Hallelujah. So the prophet are light bearers. They are not the light, but bears witness of the light in the Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. I'm jumping everything. And the word became flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I will behold his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Wow, we are still in introduction tonight. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm just seeing the time is 5 o'clock. I'm like, wow. How can I rush it? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in verse 14, he said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word which Now, when he says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, beheld his glorious of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When he says the word, he expects that you've seen word in what? Chapter 1, verse 1, right? And he said the word is God, right? So, listen to this. Remember, we're discussing on what? The revelation of God. Hallelujah. So, he says, and the word, the word which is God in verse 1, as the message in the mouth of the prophet, verse 7 to 8, right? Right? As the light in darkness, verse 5, right? Genesis 1, 2, and 3, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, remember, the amongst us will not be amongst us here, right now. We'll be talking about the eyewitness, right? We can't say that today. Okay, amongst, can we say amongst them? Eh? Can we say amongst them? Amongst them or amongst us. Hallelujah. This speaks of the incarnation of Jesus. The incarnation of Jesus is God becoming a man. The way John puts it is that the message of God, which was in the mouth of the prophet, now finds its fulfillment in the person of Christ Jesus in the incarnation. So the message in the mouth of the prophet, what would be the message in the mouth of the prophet? God's promise, right? Would that be heaven and earth? Hallelujah. Would that be God in man? I will dwell in them. Hallelujah. Is now fulfilled in the person of Jesus, or in the person of Christ in the incarnation. John says similar thing in his epistles. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. 1. That which was from the beginning. Genesis, right? Follow me, let's be fast. We've got to be fast. John 1, 1. Say that which was from the beginning. Genesis. Which you've heard. Which you've seen with our eyes. Incarnation. Which you've looked upon, and which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Say the life was manifested, and we've seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was of the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So John says the same thing. He calls the message from the beginning, Genesis, the word of life. In verse 2, was manifested, we speak of the incarnation. Hallelujah. What he says is the same. The message which is from the beginning, spoken by the prophet, is now manifested, fulfilled in the incarnation. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. At least let me run fast and finish the first session. It's too much. It might take me an hour to finish. So that's why I'm rushing. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Let me know that we might look for another day to continue the second session. Glory to God. And as we begin to go into the main details. Glory to God. So, what he says is the same. The message which was from the beginning, spoken by the prophet, now is now fulfilled in the incarnation. In recap, we have documented as scriptures. We have documented our scripture, looking at Luke 24, 25, 27, 41, 47, will be what they have spoken as message to the people, right? Right? We have it documented as scriptures. That what they spoke is what they wrote, right? Right? So, what they wrote is what they spoke about. In Hebrews 4, 2, Hebrews 4 verse 2. Okay. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So, helps us see that the message of the scripture was first of all spoken before it was written. The message will be the message of God's salvation in Christ. God's incarnation. Are you following me? The message will be God's salvation in Christ, God's incarnation, God's character, God's plan, God's heaven and earth. God's heaven and earth will be a shorthand for what Jesus summarized the scripture to be, his suffering and his entering into glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So we could say the scripture, Genesis to Malachi, will carry the message of God's heaven and earth, which will be God in man. And in that, we would see God's character. We will see God's character. In God's heaven and earth, we will see God's character. Hallelujah. In God's heaven and earth, we will see God's character. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. So, in God's heaven and earth, we will see God's character, God's person unveiled in his heaven and earth. Are you following me? Should I take that again? The scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, will carry the message of God's heaven and earth, right? Which will be God in man, right? And in that, we will see God's character, God's person unveiled in his heaven and earth. This is what John makes us see in the synoptic. John 1. It makes us see that in the synoptic. Hallelujah. That the message of the prophet will find this fulfillment in the incarnation. And in verse 18, it now says, no one has seen God at any time. No one will meet no one. Hallelujah. No man has seen God at any time. It says, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Hallelujah. So, that word bosom is in the Greek word kapos. It's the Greek word kapos. Used for what is part of another. As close as a breast pocket. Kapos. Hallelujah. So he says he's in the bosom of the Father. He uses of what cannot be. So when he uses that word bosom, it shows that they are one and the same. Hallelujah. 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 That might be a bit too careless, but let me put it like this. It shows that he is God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He is God. Bosom of the Father. It says he has declared him. He has declared him. Now that word declare is the Greek word exegumai. Did you get that? The Greek word exegumai. Exegumai is a word used to explain a personal experience. You know that after this teaching, if you are asked to stand and pray, you will not sit again.
Because you will not stretch, so you will not stand or and pray.
Okay. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, so the word exegumai is a word used to explain a personal experience. Where the one who gives the explanation is a party or a contributor to the event or what has been explained. The one who gives the narration is telling you what I'm part of.
Hallelujah. As good as Arsenal won Chelsea yesterday was, the fact still remains that when Lampard is giving a brief about what happened, you know, Lampard is dead. But what Lampard is saying can never be called exegumai. Why? Because he's not the one playing it.
The person that will speak about the match, I will call it Ezedumar, one of the players. Maybe Tammy Abraham.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe that I can speak Ezedumar, what happened? Are you following me? Ezedumar means I am part of it. I'm a participant. I'm part of this thing. So he said, the only begotten son who is in the bosom of the Father. He says he had declared him, meaning he had explained it, meaning he is explaining what he is part of. Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah. So, John makes us see that the incarnation, right, which we will call the four gospels now, we can call it the four gospels. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Is an explanation. It's an explanation. An explanation of God. An explanation of God in the scriptures. God in Genesis to Malachi is explained in that incarnation. Are you seeing that? So the incarnation is the explanation of God's person, God's character in the scriptures. We
are drawing close to the end of our introduction. We're getting close. What this implies is that in the four gospels, I will find actions that explains God in the scriptures. I will find events in the four gospels explaining the person of God. In fact, all Jesus did, we'll find from Jesus' words, actions, the person of God explains. God is explained in his actions, in his words, hallelujah, in his inactions. God is explained. Are you following me? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find God explained. Question is, now, I said we do a thorough work. Mm-hmm. Like we've gotten close to the end. Now we are going back again.
Question is, why do we need an explanation to the scriptures? Or why do we need an explanation to the scriptures to know God, to explain God?
Remember, we say Jesus is the explanation of the scripture. So why do we need to explain the scriptures in order to know God? I will go back again. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preparing you. Because everybody sitting down here, by next year, will be around for WCC. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear an amen? Just hear an amen.
Amen.
I did not say Felicia. I said, did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Doctor, did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah? How can you? Did I hear you? I said, everybody I see here now, I will see in WCC 2021. Yeah? Hallelujah. Why do I need an explanation to scriptures to explain God? Since we just read that God in the scriptures, God in the scriptures is explaining Christ, right? Right?
Okay.
So why do I need an explanation? Why would I need to get it explained again, since what God was written? Since what they were writing of was theology, right? Psalm 78, quickly. So, I say it as if we go back again, to come forward again. Wonderful. Psalm 78, verse 1. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to my word, to the words of my mouth. You see, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our father have told us. So this is David telling me that, hey,
our Father have told us. Hallelujah. He said, dark sayings of old. He tells that this is how they wrote. Hallelujah. David, just like every king of Israel, is mandated to what? Was mandated to read and explain from Genesis to Deuteronomy. You find that in Deuteronomy 17, from verse 18 to 20. Every king in Israel has the mandate to what? To read and explain the books of Moses, Genesis to what? Deuteronomy. So he has the same mandate. So he now says that, hey, you find that sense of old parables, right? So when he calls of old, he tells you this is how they wrote. Glory to God. So we have, when he says dark sayings of old, he speaks of Genesis. Listen, he speaks of Genesis to Deuteronomy and shows us how scriptures are written. He shows us how what? Scriptures are written. So when he says dark sayings of old, he's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Hallelujah. You'll find dark sayings there. What is dark sayings? Dark sayings, do I have it here? Okay, I have it there, so we'll get to it. Hallelujah. See, dark sayings of old. So, quickly. And he shows us this how scriptures are written. So he uses two words. He says, I'll open my mouth in parables. That word parables is the word mashal. What we have as parabole in Greek. In the Hebrew, is mashal. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It implies proverbs. Proverbs. In the Greek is the word parabole, which means to explain alongside. To explain with alongside. It's cast alongside what he said. It is another word, dark sayings. That is the word chida. Chida in the Hebrew. Used for a redo. Used for a redo. Used for what requires answers. What requires answers. What requires explanation. Just like what we have the Greek word mysteries, mysterion. What requires answers. What requires explanation. When he says, when using the word chida, it shows that the scriptures, when I read, I will find riddles. Riddles are what? Figures of speech. I will find riddles. I will find proverbs. I will find words that require answers, that require explanation. Use it explaining the truth concerning God. Concerning God. I'll find mysteries. When I get to Genesis 1, I will find the tree of life. First of all, I'll find the tree of life. I'll find the Garden of Eden. Figures. Hallelujah. Figures of speech. Are you following me? I will find tree of life. I will find Abel offering sacrifice. Figure of it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So why is it so? Why is it so? Why do we have this there? First of all, in the ancient time, in that era, that is how literatures were written. That is how literatures were written. Are you hearing me? That is the way they write literatures. It doesn't mean they can't tell them plainly, but literatures are written that way. Jesus also points our attention to something else. Why Moses would speak in such format to them. Though that is how literatures are written, but Jesus points our attention to this is why Moses will write to you like this. Again, in Matthew 19, from verse 4 to 8, they came asking him a question. I'm trying to be fast. They came asking him a question. Hallelujah. He said, why did Moses give us ask us to give a certificate of divorce? Hallelujah. You know, Moses will tell them, give me a certificate of divorce. This will be Moses' that thing. Moses' figure of speech.
They came to me and they said, Shall a man put away his wife for any cause? Jesus said, in the beginning it was not so. Right? And I said, why did Moses not give us a bill of divorcement? And I said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Did you see that? Of the hardness of your heart. So that word.
When Moses gave them the salary of divorce, it would be Moses' dark saying. Moses prefiguring Christ's marriage with physical marriage. Are you following that? Open your Bible to Matthew.
Matthew 19, 4, verse 4. And get what he's saying.
Hallelujah. It says, and Nathanael said to them, have you not read, he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? They asked him a question in verse 3. Should a man divorce his wife for any cause? Hallelujah. Some people say that according to today, is divorce is sin. If you divorce, you go to hell. Very funny. Is it because you know not the scriptures? Hallelujah. Is divorce is sin? Now, and the God quote, God hates divorce. You have to know how the writers write first.
Hallelujah. When it says God hates divorce, it shows you God doesn't divorce his men. He has written about the marriage. Hallelujah. Meaning God does not put away. He says, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God doesn't put away. Even in man's lapses, man walking in the flesh, God doesn't put away. The children of Israel complained, murmured for 40 years, yet he was with them all through the wilderness. God doesn't put away. Hallelujah. So when they came to ask, like Jesus will say, you know, Jesus doesn't just reply any question. He says, should we put a wife for any cause? Jesus will respond from scripture. Jesus responds all through with from scriptures. Check it. He doesn't respond outside scriptures. Even if you ask him any, his response will be from the scriptures. Because he's the word became flesh. So his response must come from the scriptures to show that he's the word became flesh. And those response from the scriptures will now be the interpretation of scriptures. Are you following that? So he says in verse 4, he answered and said, have you not read? He who made them at the beginning made them male and female. He takes your mind back to where Genesis 1 verses 26 into 27. So where did he make them male and female? You know, when he just said this, Jesus made them male and female. He did not just quote that verse. No, he read everything. Are you following me? He read everything to them. So he made them male and female. It shows that you find male and female in God's marriage. Are you following that? Nathan said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. He reads Genesis 1 into Genesis 2. Are you following that? And he tells them what God has joined together.
So when he's reading, shall a man leave his father and mother? He's already registering in the head. But Adam didn't leave father. Who's Adam's father? Who's Adam's mother? Are you following that? He now gave them the answer. He now said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Immediately, what should come to their mind is what? I will make him a helpmeet. We'll see that shortly. I will make him a helpmeet. So, if you are still looking for father and mother, you have missed it. He's telling you that marriage I'm talking about, what has God joined together? God has joined together is what? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. That is what God joins together. Sorry, sir. Do you know what I mean? That is what God joins together, the heaven and the earth. Are you following that? So, what is heaven and the earth? God and man. So, God's marriage is between himself and man. Are you following that? So, Jesus is changing their narrative. What they know is changing what they know. And he then said to him, verse 7, why then did Moses give us a certificate of divorce and to put it? I said to them, Moses, now listen, before I read what he replies, when he says, give them a bill of divorcement to put them away, will be Moses' dark sayings. Moses prefiguring with physical marriage. Are you hearing me? So Moses is prefiguring with physical marriage. This is Moses' dark saying of God's marriage in Christ. Hallelujah. That is, in when the man now gives a bill of divorcement, is to show that it is man that puts away in God's marriage. It's not God that puts away. It's man that puts away. How does man put away? Man puts away by rejecting salvation. Are you following me? Are you following that? So when the gospel is preached and the man refuses, he puts away. So Jesus see that. So when Moses wrote that bill of divorcement to them, it's for them to know that it is unbelief that puts away. Are you following that? Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus makes them see. He says in verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Moses will give you this. Moses will give you the prefiguring. He will write in the manner they wrote that those days to you. Eh? Listen. He will write in the manner they wrote those days to you because of the hardness of your heart. Hallelujah. I want you to understand it. Now, Moses writing to them in the manner they wrote that day was not to now become wicked, to them to now twist it. No. The manner in which they wrote those days is their level of comprehension. You understand me? Eh? So, I want to write to you and tell you eternal life. For you to now understand, I'll now build tree and I'll tell you tree of life. Do you get that? Tree of life. So, the way tree is used in those days, you know that it's for what is eternal and what is forever. Are you hearing me? So, there's no fruit called life in a tree. There's no fruit called life. There's no fruit called knowledge of good and evil. So, it's not a diamond, it's not cocoa, it's not mango, it's not apple. You understand? But when he uses the word tree of life, he makes you see that in the figure of speech. You have any tree that the fruit name is life, or any tree that the fruit name is not your good that you know, but that is how they wrote. So when you see tree, you see what is eternal in those days. So when Moses goes ahead to write in that manner, it's to condescend to their level, because that is what they have obtainable in their day. Are you following me? And that is because they did not understand when he spoke to them plainly. Are you following? Glory to God. So it's just like talking to somebody and then this person, see, this is what God will do. Oh, okay. See, this is my brother. Does not understand. Like, our people say a toe does not run in the daytime for nothing. Either he's chasing something or something is chasing you. If you now say, what does that mean? It's not your father that gives birth to you. That's what an evil man will say. It's not your father that gives birth to you. Do you know what that means? That means I have come to the simplest matter you don't know. Go and look for your father. You understand? Go and look for your father. So that is what figure of speech was to them as at that time. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So Moses, Jesus will say, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart.
That is the Greek word sclerocardia. Sclerocardia. This is not coming to an end.
Forgetting dark. Pastor Garuba. See, I still need my light. So you mean you've done it overnight?
Not at lunch in daybreak. Okay.
I didn't know how much this thing was until I was reviewing it yesterday. And I couldn't finish what I was saying.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. The word sclerocardia. Sclerocardia. Now that's the word hardness of heart. The word scleru is the word hardness used for unbelief in Hebrews 4:7,
Hebrews 3:15, Hebrews 3:7. I just took it backwards. Hebrews 3:7, Hebrews 3:15, Hebrews 4:7.
A word used for Moses' description for the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Deuteronomy 10, 16, let's look at that. Moses' description of Israel with that. Deuteronomy 10, 16. It says, therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. So they were stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. That's the word rebellious. Stiff-necked. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 17:23. Jeremiah 17:23. But they did not obey they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear or receive instruction. Did you see unbelief? Did you see that? It's also used for what happened to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. They're going back again. Verse 7:3. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land. Harden. Hallelujah. So unbelief to the gospel spoken is the reason why the writers of scripture will employ the use of parables. Hardness of heart, unbelief. Hallelujah. So why did they not use the parables? So that they can condescend to them so they would believe. Right? So take note, hardness of heart is usually in unbelief. Hardness of heart is usually in what? Unbelief to the gospel. So the parable is to help further explain to them what the writer or preacher is saying to them plainly. Just like Moses to the children of Israel. He has told them of God's plan of redemption. Look at Exodus 6 from verse 1 to 9. Exodus 6 from verse 1 to 9. Look at verse 6. He said, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord God who brings you out from under the bondage of the Egyptian. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Would that be Canaan? No. That would be what? Resurrection. Right? Right? And I will give it to you as an heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. What did he speak to them? Is it the message? Is that not the message we've read from verse 6? Is it plainly here? Was it plain? Is it plain? Now watch their response in verse 9. The Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not do what? They did not hearken to Moses' word. I mean, they did not believe. They did not believe. Did you not see? See, Moses spoke to them plainly at several points, but they did not believe. So the reason why Moses will not bring you what? Figures of speech. Parables. Hallelujah. Moses will want to tell them the rock.
God is the rock. He will tell them God is the rock. He will strike the rock, water will come out. So they didn't just write those stories for you to see stories, miracle, no. For you to see the miracle and to see what is explained. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So Moses prefigured that rock to make them know that there's a rock that follows them.
As Paul will put it. What is the rock that follows them? He said the message of Christ. Are you following that?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we said the miracles, signs and wonders will point to the real miracle, will point to something else. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Chris, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So let's move ahead a bit. They didn't believe, won't believe. In Deuteronomy 30, Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, it says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, or is it far off? It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us, or to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea and to bring it for us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. I set before you life and death, good and evil. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandment and statutes and judgment, and you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you possess." Hallelujah. So here Moses will speak about the resurrection. We've seen that before, right? What we just read now, is it not Romans 10? There's Romans 10, right? Right? Okay, and Paul was explaining the resurrection from there. So Moses will speak to them plainly about the resurrection. But what will be their response? They will not believe also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is why he would speak, or this is why he would now speak of this as heaven and earth, and yet prefigure heaven and earth, God and man, in giving them a tabernacle. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
We give them a tabernacle. And in giving them the tabernacle, in the message, in the message we have on assigning the gospel, we said we must pay attention to what he said around. Right? Right? When there's a prefiguring, you must pay attention to what he said around. So he gave them the tabernacle in Exodus 25:8. When he gave them the tabernacle to show God in man, God will dwell in man. Yet, in Exodus 25:8, God says, "I will dwell in them." So God, while he was giving them the tabernacle, God still spoke. Meaning, God, Moses would speak and tell them, God wants to live in you. Hallelujah. So he uses the Hebrew word among. That word among, that preposition among means in. Hallelujah. I will live in you. So, the Proverbs are to help them understand what he was saying. So my attention should not be on what... my attention should be on what was said and not on what was... or what is the prefiguring. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? My attention should be on what was said, not on the prefiguring. On an aside, that means that the book of Proverbs carries the same weight. It will be a book of illustrations of Genesis to Deuteronomy. It will be a book of illustration, a book of prefigure, a book of Proverbs. Hallelujah. Remember, as the king, you would read and explain Genesis to Deuteronomy. So, the book of Proverbs will be Proverbs that Solomon said while explaining or while reading Genesis to Deuteronomy, those will be the Proverbs. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You read Proverbs 1 from verse 1 into verses 4, 5. You see there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will be Proverbs that he has said. Or he said, cast alongside while he was explaining Genesis to Deuteronomy. So therefore, what you have as Proverbs, I want to say this, but I will just repeat it again when we discuss understanding the gospel. What you have as Proverbs will not be 100% correct fact, but what you should base your money on should be on what a proverb addresses. Are you hearing me? You can fault the Proverbs, but it is not whether you can fault it that is the issue, but what does it address? Jesus had gave a lot of proverbs that today we can fault. Hallelujah. We can fault those proverbs, but because of technology and things advancement over time, but your mind should not be on whether it can be faulted or not. Your mind should be on what was he addressing in his day. Are you hearing me? In our day today, when Jesus gave the parable of the seed sower, he said the seed that fell on the what? On the rocky soil, right? We have one that fell on the good soil, the one that fell on thorns, the one that fell on rocky soil, and the one that fell on the wayside, right? Now, today, we can have chemicals that can make crops grow, the ones that fell on the wayside, right? Can make crop grow. Today, just have fertilizer to bad soil, won't it grow? What is good?
Green.
It will grow. Hallelujah. It will grow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It will grow. But does that mean Jesus didn't know what he was talking about? No. If we are trying to dispute whether this is right or this is wrong in the science of your day today, then you don't have sense. But what he's talking about will be what? Look at the message. The message is this is what he's trying to pass across. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm not trying to fault it. That parable. So the same way we get to the book of Proverbs, there are a lot of parables you see, like train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, you not depart from it. It's a parable. It's not a standalone. Are you following me? Because there are several children who are trained in the way they should go. They have not just departed. They are forsaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some children that they've shown. If you think it's like train a child, taking him to Sunday school. And the children that went to Sunday school, pass out, graduate, wear robe, they give them new Bible. Today, as I'm talking to you, they are nowhere to be found in the Lord. In fact, they are outside the Lord. Hallelujah. There are some people that they say, children of a child, the way you should go, and when you go, depart from it. Some of those things that they changed you to do was in rebellion. You did it. Now you are no longer doing it. Yes, sir. You knock your head, slap your head in the morning, stand up and pray, you pray. You are sleeping and dozing and pray, amen, amen. They slap you, say amen, stand up, see that, see that. Now you're alone, you're a rebellion, you can't remember the last time you prayed in the morning. Hallelujah. Is it that you were not trained in the way you should go? You were, but you did not continue. Hallelujah. So can you see that today you can fault that in train up a child in the way you go, and when it's over, you're not depart from it. You can fault even your own self. There are several things you've been trained up to do that you never continue. There are people that were trained to cook. The only thing they can cook is to boil water today. And they departed. They forsaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So those are parables. Parables might not be 100% correct, but you have to point out to look at, or you have to point out to see what is he explaining. Parables cast alongside.
So when we get to discuss the book of Proverbs, we will see, train up a child in the way she goes, you will see that she is reading from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. And he was casting that alongside to make you see, wow. So this is train up a child the way he should go. So he throws it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That even here, my son, incline their ears to my saying. They are light to them that find it and medicine. You see all the words of your father that is medicine to you. Have some parents not help their children to do exams before write assignment and they fail.
Just continue. Glory to God. But you have to know what is he talking about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So let's continue. I said that was an aside. An aside just took 10 minutes. Oh God. Okay. That said, we can call the Old Testament book a book containing proverbs about God's heaven and earth. Can we say that?
A book containing God's proverb about heaven and earth.
We can call the Old Testament books containing God, containing proverbs about God's heaven and earth. Jesus and Paul will call it mysteries. The Old Testament will call it mysteries. Oh, should I get to that? Why did I buy mysteries?
Okay, mysteries. I thought I left it to
you.
Next time.
Okay, mysteries.
Hebrews 13:11, Luke 8:10, mysteries. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The mysteries of the kingdom. And it was referencing the Old Testament books.
Sleep, wake up, you right. Amen. Amen. In Romans 11:25, Romans 16:25, Ephesians 1:9. Romans 11:25, 16:25, Ephesians 1:9. Ephesians 1:9 now. Come on, let me check that Ephesians 1:9 up. Okay, yeah. Mysteries. Ephesians 1:9. Okay. Hallelujah. The word mystery is the same word David will call redo, right? I said that earlier. So the word mystery is the word mysterion. It implies something that is hidden. Something that is hidden that needs explanation. In itself is the word that is something that needs explanation. The reason why a okay, sorry. So when I call the Old Testament book mysterion, it implies a book that needs explanation. An explanation is within the books. Take note of that. And the explanation is within the books.
Wow. It was here I wrote it. I thought I wrote it in what we teach December 31st. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew I wrote it by you. So let me see it. It's a book that is in need of explanation, and the explanation is still within the books. Where is the explanation?
Within
that same Old Testament book. Because where will Paul be explaining it from?
That's the Old Testament.
I follow you. So the explanation is within the context of the books.
But I must be careful in my study. I must be careful in my study so as not to interpret it the wrong way. So, in my study of the Old Testament book, I will find parables, figure of speech, which I must not read literally. If not, I will be like the Israelites who went ahead to look for God inside a physical tabernacle. How poor. Right? They went to look for God inside a tabernacle. Not knowing Moses prefigures it for them with the physical sanctuary. I will find human experiences in the Old Testament books also. Reason why I must be careful. That is the reason why I must be careful. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason I must be careful. I'll find human experiences too. There. Hallelujah. But the reason why I will be careful. Like Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15. Much more. I mean, the reason why I should be careful and be diligent, rather, just like Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. Much more, why that scripture is in need of explanation, and the incarnation, by extension, the four gospels, becomes for us an explanation of scriptures. Jesus' actions, humanity, becomes the explanation of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.